Last week, I introduced what's next. At the end of the message last week, I introduced what we're going to do next. And us as a preaching team, we're going to focus on prayer. Focus on prayer, the power of prayer, and the messages from here till at least January. It may go further, I don't know. I'm hoping to be led by God to whatever else he needs us to learn about and talk about. But for right now, my mind is going to go, we're going to go through January with prayer and the power of prayer. And I talked, last week I said something about how that came about. Michael Hill had said that there was this book that he just read, and it's a great book, and it's about prayer and how this little church started praying together that they would reach the community. And they did, and they did it often. And they prayed often. And so, and now they're one of the largest churches in the nation. And like I said, I'm not trying to become a large church, but I am trying to reach our community. And our community is the recovery community. It's not just the people around us out here. Serenity Church is a 12-step church. And so our community consists of the recovery community. And all the anonymous groups are welcome here. We qualify all of them.
Yes.
And so to be a part of that process, Michael we visited on Wednesday. We had breakfast, and he has a vision of having a prayer team, a group of people that meet to do that. I'm going to get him up here and let him tell you a little bit what he's thinking about, and see if y'all might want to be a part of it.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. My name is Michael, and I'm an overcomer.
Hello, Michael.
Yes. I read this book called Fresh Wind and Fresh Fire by Jim Cimbala. Jim Cimbala was not even a pastor, but his father-in-law, who was, asked him to oversee and help this little bitty, broken-down, rotting, physically and spiritual church in Brooklyn, New York. If he would just go there. It was like 40-something people. He said the first time he started to preach, it was like five people sitting on a pew, and the pew collapsed and pouring out on the floor. Anyway, it went from about 25 people. He took out 45 to about 25 people. But he started doing something that he said, we just need to pray, and we need to invoke the Holy Spirit, and we need to pray like we never prayed before.
Come on.
And they did so, and things started happening. Things started happening. Miraculous things, supernatural things, because they were not ashamed of going to the Holy Spirit and praying.
Come on.
Like I said, they are a monster for Jesus church, but the growth of the people sitting in there was absolutely secondary. They were just praying to reach the community. Church growth now is who is ever leaving one church to move to another church. Their focus was to getting the message of Jesus Christ out to people who didn't know him.
Amen.
And to bring them in here. So I read this book. I read lots of books. This is the best book I've read in probably 25 years or more. I highly, 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 and I like to underline highly, recommend that you get a copy of this. Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. John Featherston was so moved by this book that he actually had a prayer room built at the old church across the way here, right before, but God had Serenity Church transitioning. But he was so moved by this book that when I told him that he reread it, Shay, who doesn't read books, listened to it on their drive to Nashville and then again up to Vermont, and God spoke to him and said, yeah, we need to do something. I believe that we are on the threshold of something monumental.
Wow.
But we need to ask the only power that can make that happen, which is not us.
Yeah.
and pray.
Amen.
And pray with purpose.
Yep.
And pray with passion.
Yep.
So we talk about how we're going to do that. And we're on Saturdays from 4 to 4:45, starting right out here in the little prayer room area there. I'm asking for prayer warriors. And I don't mean eloquent. I'm a really good prayer because Jim Cimbala said he wasn't. None of the people that he started were, you know, eloquent prayer warriors. I'm talking about people who have passion, who want this vision of Serenity Church. This place should be filled up. Let's just say there's enough broken and hurting people. And just these little local communities here, I'm talking about the Colony, Louisville, Carrollton, that this place can be packed out to the parking lot if those people knew about it. How does that happen? Well, let's pray on it. Let's let the Holy Spirit direct us. Let's let the Holy Spirit, you know, give us that vision. When I say provision, I say provide me with a vision, Lord.
Amen.
That's my provision, is provide me with a vision. And he has provided me with one part of that vision, which is to start a prayer team. And we're going to meet on Saturdays, like I said, from 4 to 4:45, and we're just going to pray. And
amen.
Like I said, this is not for eloquent speakers. This is not, you know, I just want some people that God is looking, not me, Michael. Let me back that up. Let me take that out. I'm not looking for, God's looking for some people that want to pray to him, that believe in him and want to kick this off.
Yes.
Now, Jason, I can't get on my soapbox, so about 2 minutes is just about up. But I'm just asking those people who want the very first, I'll end with this, the very first actual miracle, which is a supernatural event happening in the natural world, happened on a Kairos weekend, and it was because of prayer. God answers prayer, but he is not looking for the lukewarm. He's not looking for those people that think they have to pray because it's something to do on a church checklist. He's looking for people that want to get passionately involved with him and to let their hearts know him. So when we pray, we're going to, you know, we can pray for whatever's on your heart, and, you know, but let's pray for those people who don't know Jesus, those people in recovery who are broken, lost, and need to hear the message here at Serenity Church. Let's pray for our future. Let's pray for our present. But let's pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Michael.
Did you tell that?
Yeah. You know, I was a little apprehensive about giving you a microphone. Because the dude loves to preach, and then I had to come up here and try to follow it. So I tried to, 2 minutes, Michael, go start preaching. Can't help it. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate you, man. So part of this whole deal is I introduced a prayer to the church last week. And we handed out little business cards that has that prayer on it. Does everybody have one of those? And if you don't, there's some back there on the back table. Make sure you grab several of them. Maybe pass them out to some other people. There's plenty of them there. But let's go ahead and, like I said, I'm going to try to start every one of my messages with this because I can see you praying this prayer together. And so I know that we are praying it, at least when I'm up here. We're praying it together. And so, kind of like the so that's and the therefores that we do, y'all say the help us, Lord, part, and I will read our request. Jesus is Lord.
Help us, Lord.
To be the church for the broken and the powerless.
Help us, Lord.
To be bold about the name of Jesus.
Help us, Lord.
To be grateful for the blessings and the struggles.
Amen.
So, what does the Bible say about prayer? A lot. There's not a thing that just narrowed. This is what prayer is, and that's it. There's a whole lot said about it. If you have one of the bulletins, turn to your inside right-hand side, and this is going to be your first fill in the blank. We're looking at Matthew 7, verse 11. And it says, even though you are bad, my goodness, it's like Matthew Newman. Even though you are bad, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more your Heavenly Father will give good things to those who ask Him. You must ask.
Amen.
You must ask.
Yeah.
So how do we ask? How do we ask an Almighty God to fix things for us?
Prayer.
It's so simple. Pray. That's it. That's how you communicate. If I've talked with people before, and like, you have a relationship with God, you have a relationship with Jesus. Oh yeah, yeah. Well, when's the last time you prayed? I don't do that too often. I don't pray a whole lot. You know, I just feel weird about praying. And, how many people have relationships with other people that they don't talk to? How can you have a relationship with someone that you never communicate with? You can't,
right?
You can't. It's very difficult to have a relationship when you don't know what that other person's doing. Or you have zero contact with that other person. There's no relationship there. That's how important prayer is. So, another part of prayer is, picture this. How many have been in this spot? Oh, Lord, I'll never do it again. If you just make this headache, I'm not going to do it. That's not it. Oh, gosh. Lord, I promise I won't do it again. I'm not going to ask this question. Oh, Lord, I've done it again. If you can just get me out of this jail cell. If you can just get me out of this jail cell, God. I promise I won't do that bad thing I did that got me into it. I promise I'll quit doing the next one to see. I promise that I will start following you. I promise that I will.
This is my resume.
Come to church. And
that's my resume.
I promise. I'm in trouble. The walls are closing in. I have nowhere else to turn. I'm powerless. So what would you call that kind of prayer? Foxhole prayer. See, when I first came into recovery, I heard the foxhole prayer, and I immediately kind of knew what they were talking about, but I've never heard that term before. But what I heard of was the term foxhole in military. Yeah, I knew that an army guy would, somebody in war would dig a hole, and you see it on the movies. They get down in that hole, and it protects them from the flying bullets and all that kind of stuff. But I've also seen the movies where the guy's down in there, and he runs out of ammo. He's thrown his last grenade. He has nothing left. And he starts praying. Lord, if you just get me out of this one, I promise I'll do whatever you have me do. I'll go brush kids' teeth in Africa. Just get me out of here. Just get me out of here. So, does God answer these kind of prayers? 100%.
Come on, amen.
I'm proof. I've said a plethora of those kind of prayers. I've said those kind of prayers half my life. Promising things that I would not keep. I believe God hears and answers all my prayers.
Yeah.
I've heard people that say, I just feel like my prayers are not going past the ceiling. Well, that's just how you feel, because you're not getting the answer you want. Mm-hmm. He answers all prayers. Yes, no, and not right now. They're always answered. He hears you. So, with all that being said, knowing now that He answers all the prayers, this reminded me of the story of Jonah. If you don't know the story of Jonah, well, probably most of us do, but I've talked to some guys that didn't know that story, you know. Maybe they didn't spend time growing up in church as in the kids' ministry as I did. I was raised in the kids' ministry and all the Old Testament Bible stories, which kind of gave me a little PTSD. Because God wasn't very nice back then, you know. And so the story of Jonah is in the Old Testament, and in the Bible I use, it's one page. It's four chapters, one page. And so even if you know it later on, maybe sometime this week or tonight, read that one page. It's a front and back of one page. Even I can do that. And so, because I'm going to tell you part of the story, but I'm not really going to tell you how it ends. And it was good for me to go back and look at this story. God told Jonah to go and preach in Nineveh, the town of Nineveh, where the Ninevites lived. And what you have here is Jonah, who is an Israelite, can't stand the Ninevites. They're enemies. They don't like each other. And so God says, I want you to go and preach in Nineveh. And immediately Jonah starts complaining. I don't want to go there. Matter of fact, God, it could be a little bit dangerous for me. We hate each other. I don't want to go there. Matter of fact, I don't want them to receive your grace. I don't want them to receive your forgiveness. See, God was sending Jonah there to tell him, hey, y'all are messing up. Straighten up. Start doing right, or I'm going to destroy this city. Well, Jonah, he didn't care. He was an enemy. He wanted the city destroyed. So he ran. He ran. Nineveh's this way. Jonah this way. I'm going as far away as I can. Here's the deal. You can't outrun God.
Nope.
I've tried it. I sat in the church. I've sat in church ever since I was young and sat there and waited on the clock to hit noon so we could get out of there. And I found myself later on in years going to church just so my parents and family was, you know, see me there, making an appearance, and then go do whatever I wanted to do. And then finally, I just started running to God. And there's a whole story behind all that. And like I said, I believe it goes back to being in children's ministry and hearing all the Old Testament stories about how the wrath of God. And so when they talk about God's grace, very little in the churches I grew up, I didn't hear that. And I'm sure they did. I didn't hear it, though. And when life was crumbling around me, it was God that was doing that. I didn't give no credit to the one who roams this earth, who, if you run away from God, will take over. And so, this is what happened to Jonah. He gets on a ship, going the opposite direction, and then climbs down into the bow of the ship and finds him a place to go to sleep. Well, God decides to toss and turn the ship. The big storms come up, big giant waves. The sailors thought the boat was going to flip. It was going to be sunk. And so they started throwing cargo overboard. They threw cargo overboard, trying to balance out the boat or whatever. And so they started looking around at one another going, which one of you is messed up? And God's mad at you. And they all was like, well, you know, I don't think I've done anything wrong. There's no reason for God to be mad at me right now. And so they said, wait a minute, there's a guy down below. They all went down there and they said, hey, what have you done to make God mad? And he said, yeah, it's me. You're right. It's me. He told me to go this way and I went that way. And so really the only way that you're going to be saved is if you throw me over. Well, they didn't want to do that. That's murder. They didn't want to murder him. So, but Jonah told him, look, here's the deal. If you don't, we're all going to die. And it's my fault. And so they pick picked him up and they tossed him over. Lord, forgive us for this murder, but here we go. So they threw him over into the ocean. When he hit the ocean, what do you think happened? The seas calmed. The wind stopped blowing. The ship started sailing in the right direction. Everything was calm. Jonah was sinking. He's in the middle of the ocean. About to die. And then a fish comes and swallows him up. Jonah 1:17. It says, the Lord caused a big fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. I started thinking about that. He was in the middle of the ocean, he was about to die. How else was he going to get back to land? Something had to happen. And so, throughout the years, I've always heard, I got arrested and had to spend 3 days in the belly of a fish. My consequences, all the things that are going on in my life, it's like living in the belly of a fish. It's perceived as a punishment. That fish was the way he saved Jonah. In my case, there was times that God was trying to save me. He put me in places like jail, trying to save me, and I looked at it like I'm being punished. But the whole time he was trying to save me. Jonah 2, verses 1 through 10. While Jonah was inside the fish, he prayed.
Wow.
I'll be that. I bet he did.
Come on, man.
The Lord, he prayed to the Lord. His God said, when I was in danger, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. I was about to die, so I cried to you, and you heard me. Okay. Now he's talking about when he was thrown overboard. He said, when I called out to you, and you heard me. So I pictured this. These sailors grabbed Jonah and they went, shoo, and he was going through the air. Oh, God, help me. That was his prayer. I mean, what more time do you have to pray before you hit the water? So I cried to you and you heard my voice. You threw me into the sea, down into the sea. Deep sea. The water was all around me, and your powerful wave flowed over me. I said I was driven out of your presence, but I hope to see your holy temple again. Okay, I hope to see your holy temple again. So he's in the belly of the fish right now. The waters of the sea closed around my throat. The deep sea was all around me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. When I went down to where the mountains of the sea start to rise, I thought I was locked in this prison forever. But you saved me from the pit of death, Lord my God. When my life had almost gone, I remembered the Lord. I prayed to you and said, and you heard my prayer in your holy temple. People who worship useless idols give up their loyalty to you. But I will praise, listen to this, I will praise and thank you while I give sacrifice to you, and I will keep my promises to you if you get me out of this fish. Salvation comes from the Lord. The Lord spoke to the fish, and the fish threw Jonah up onto land. You get me out of this fish, I promise I will give sacrifices. I promise I will do what I'm supposed to do. I promise I will go and preach in Nineveh. So the question here, go back to my question, does God answer these kind of prayers? And we already said yes. And then he obviously did with Jonah. He obviously hears these kind of prayers too. Jonah prayed, and you heard my voice. Verse 7, I prayed to you, and you heard my prayers in your holy temple.
Yeah.
I'll keep my promise. Yeah, it seems like when we're in those, and it seems like that kind of prayer shouldn't work. It's like I'm making a deal with you, God. If you give me this, I'll give you this. It almost seems not right. But God still hears and answers those prayers. Another kind of prayer, Philippians 4:6 talks about it. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God.
Amen.
By prayer and petition. I always thought that a petition was the actual paper that people sign. You've seen it. Well, hey, will you sign my petition? I'll sign that petition. The petition, I always thought the petition was the paper. I didn't really understand what that means. So I looked it up. And the petition is, and I think you need to write this one down, to make or present a formal request to an authority with respect to a particular case or a particular cause. It had nothing to do with the paper. They're signing the paper to support the cause. Let's look at Matthew 26:36-46. And it's titled, Jesus Prays Alone. Then Jesus went with his followers to a place called Gethsemane. He said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee with him. And he began to be very sad and troubled. He said to them, my heart is full of sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me. After walking a little further away from them, Jesus fell to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, do not give me this cup of suffering, but do what you want, not what I want. Then Jesus went back to his followers and found them asleep. He said to Peter, you men could not stay awake with me for 1 hour. Stay awake and pray for strength against temptation. The spirit wants to do what is right, but the body is weak. His spirit wanted to do what is right, but his flesh did not. He didn't want to go through that. Then Jesus went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this painful thing to be taken from me, and I must do it, I pray that what you want will be done. Then back to his followers, and again, and found them asleep because their eyes were heavy. So Jesus left them and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. Then Jesus went back to his followers and said, are you still sleeping and resting? The time has come for the Son of Man to be handed over to the sinful people. Get up. We must go. Look, here comes the man who has turned against me. What Jesus did there is petition. He petitioned God to let this cup pass, let this horrible thing that my body is going to have to tolerate, let this, don't make me do this. Please, I don't want to do this. So much so that he went the first time and probably got an answer he didn't like. He went back, and the scripture doesn't say it, but he went back again. Maybe he didn't have any results the second time. He went back a third time. Jesus was persistent in his prayer. He was persistent in a prayer about something that he knew he had to do to save all of us. Did God answer Jesus' prayer?
Oh, yeah.
The answer was no. The answer was no. Aren't we glad God said no? I never thought of that before when I read that. It's like Jesus was begging for him to say yes, I'll let it pass. God always knows what's best. Jesus had to go through a whole bunch of suffering so we could be saved. God said no to Jesus.
Right?
Yes to Jonah. Jonah got a yes when he was basically dealing with God. I'll give you this if you give me that. And he got a yes. Jesus went to God and said, I'm begging you, please don't have me do this, but thy will be done. Like, whatever you want, I will do. Sounds a little different. But Jonah got a yes and he got a no. I think the point to this all is just pray. Period. Just pray for what you think your needs are. Pray for other people's needs. Just pray. We don't do that enough, I don't believe. I know I do it more now than I used to. And we think that it has to be like Michael said, this elaborate prayer. You have to be well-spoken. Help us, Lord. That's a prayer. Help us, Lord. I have God rocks. It's a prayer of praise in our youth group. I was trying to get the youth group kids to pray out loud and start being comfortable with prayer. And I said, God rocks is a prayer of praise. And so we did that big circle and we'd go around, God rocks, God rocks, God rocks, God rocks. Everybody would say, God rocks. But it got their mouths open. It got their mouths open. And eventually they made a game out of it where one of them would actually, you know, say more than just God rocks. And they'd be like, oh, you broke the chain. But it got them talking to God.
Amen.
The difference in those two prayers are extreme to me. They're one's trying to make a deal and one's asking for God's will. And they both get two different answers. We have no idea. What we do know is God is going to do what is best for all.
That's right.
And that's what he did in Jesus' case. It was best for everyone. That Jesus got to know. So, we're praying this Help Us Lord prayer at the church. And as I was writing this, I felt that there was something missing. And I think the last thing on your bulletin is fill in the blank. Is that will be done. So we're going to pray this one more time. And let's end it all together with that will be done. Jesus is Lord.
Help us, Lord.
To be the church, to the broken and the powerless.
Help us, Lord.
To be bold about the name of Jesus.
Help us, Lord.
To be grateful for the blessings and the struggles.
Thy will be done. Amen.
Listen, if you came here tonight and you don't know how to pray, you're struggling with prayer, this deal that Michael's doing would be a good part for you to fit in. I believe there's probably going to be some people there that are pretty strong prayer warriors. And if you're don't know Jesus, if that relationship that I talked about, the communication hasn't been there, and you need to talk to somebody about that, we will. Will and Wanda will be back here inside. They're willing to pray with you about whatever. If you've been struggling, meet us back here in Overcomers Group. We can. It's a 12-step group. Most of you know what it's all about. But if we haven't seen you in a while, we'd love to see you in there. Listen, the bottom line is just pray. Just start praying. And it can be just as simple as Help Us, Lord. I love you. Can you please stand? Jonah.